Today is July 10th, 2026. This is your AI briefing for Business Pragmatist. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover a pricing move from SpaceX AI that undercuts Anthropic and OpenAI on token costs, a breakdown of CPU, GPU, TPU, and Grok's LPU chips that determines your cost per token, and a Senate Banking Committee letter from Anthropic documenting a massive data extraction attack you should be defending against right now. Let's start with the number that should be on every CFO's radar this quarter. SpaceX A. I just announced Grok 4.5 at $2 per million input tokens and $6 per million output tokens. Compare that to Anthropic's Opus 4.7, priced at $5 per million input and $25 per million output. Or OpenAI's newest model, referred to in the source material as Sol, priced at $5 input and $30 output. Do the math, and Grok 4.5 undercuts Opus by roughly 60% on input costs and 76% on output. Against OpenAI's Sol model, the output discount runs 76 to 80%. Musk pitched this on X as Opus class but faster, more token efficient, and lower cost, and that framing matters. He's not fighting for leaderboard rank anymore, he's fighting on cost per task, which is the metric your board actually cares about. SpaceX AI is also claiming roughly 2x token efficiency versus competing models. I want to flag clearly. That figure is self-reported and hasn't been independently benchmarked. Treat it as a hypothesis to test against your own workload, not a number to build a budget forecast around. The strategic play for your board is this. Model selection has stopped being a one-time architecture decision and become a quarterly reshoppable line item, just like cloud compute or bandwidth. Because Grok 4.5, Opus 4.7, and GPT Sol all expose OpenAI-compatible chat completion schemas, switching between them is a low-cost integration exercise, which is exactly why this category is commoditizing so fast. Before you migrate any production workload, run your own benchmark harness against your actual prompt corpus, coding assistance, drafting, summarization, whatever your real traffic looks like, and log the cost and latency deltas. Keep your incumbent contract active during that pilot. Don't cut over until your own token logs confirm the efficiency claim, because vendor announcements and production reality rarely line up perfectly on day one. Building on that cost pressure, there's a parallel development in how teams are routing between providers. Rather than betting on a single vendor, some teams are now running multi-provider routing as a resilience pattern, not just a cost optimization play. A recent demo paired a tool called OmniRoute with OpenRouter's free model router, showing a single local endpoint distributing requests across roughly 90 different providers, with automatic failover the moment one gets rate limited. That eliminates the manual scramble that hits any team relying on just one or two paid vendors when a provider goes down or throttles you. Light LLM, an open source project on GitHub, serves the same niche. Here's the caveat, straight from the source's own framing. None of these routing tools represent a durable competitive moat. This infrastructure layer is commoditizing just as quickly as the underlying models. More importantly, if you're planning to wire any of this into an agent pipeline, there's a critical gate you can't skip. Verify tool calling support empirically before you go to production. Some models, like Nemotron 3 Super and Ultra, are explicitly built for complex multi-agent applications. Others, Base Hermes variants, for instance, will silently fail on tool calls without throwing an obvious error. The recommended threshold is an 80% tool call success rate before you trust a model in production. Separately, Dan Shipper, CEO of Evry, has been sharing reusable codecs patterns worth piloting individually rather than adopting as a package deal. Router threads for triage work, a mailroom, email alias for delegating tasks to agents, and a record and replay plugin that turns one observed task into a repeatable skill. And on the OpenWeight front, Reuters reports Minimax is building a 2.7 trillion parameter OpenWeight model, trailing Moonshot's Longcat 2.0 and DeepSeek's V4 Pro, both sitting at 1.6 trillion parameters. All three use mixture of experts architecture, which matters directly for the hardware conversation that comes next. Now let's talk about the silicon underneath all of this, because the CPU, GPU, TPU, and LPU decision isn't academic. It's a direct line item on your P&L. A technical breakdown from DIY Smart Code lays this out clearly. GPUs remain the flexible default, but they're bound by what the source calls the memory wall. Every token requires hauling weights in from external high-bandwidth memory, and that round trip is the core latency bottleneck on NVIDIA-class hardware. Google's TPU sidesteps this with a systolic array design that eliminates repeated memory trips, and it's described as brutally efficient for massive enterprise-scale AI factories. The trade-off: TPUs demand highly predictable, rigid workloads, and you're locked into Google Cloud. Then there's Grok's LPU, which stores weights directly in on-chip SRAM, removing external memory calls altogether. That gives you deterministic, low-latency token generation, the best fit if you're running real-time chat, voice, or agent workloads, where every millisecond of consistency matters. But SRAM capacity is small, so scaling to large models means wiring together many chips, which raises your hardware footprint and cost. CPUs, meanwhile, stay in their lane. They're best suited to the branching orchestration logic around inference, not the heavy matrix math itself. The adoption curve here doesn't show one clear winner pulling away from the pack. It shows continued volatility across all four categories, which is the source's own explicit framing. The strategic play for your board is to re-benchmark on your own traffic every quarter, rather than trusting vendor demo numbers, and to maintain a GPU fallback path if you specialize into TPU or LPU, since both carry real vendor lock-in risk. Now to the risk side of the ledger, which is just as consequential as the pricing war. Anthropic sent a letter to the Senate Banking Committee on June 10th, summarized on the AI Policy Podcast by Ola and Nicole, disclosing that Alibaba extracted an estimated 25 to 28 million data points from Anthropic's models using thousands of fraudulent accounts. That's described as the largest known distillation attack to date. It dwarfs a prior combined 16 million exchanges attributed to DeepSeek, Moonshot, and Minimax. Anthropic's response involved rate limiting, account verification, reducing how much chain of reasoning detail gets exposed in outputs, and query pattern anomaly detection. Here's why this matters for you directly. This extraction technique applies identically to any internal model you've fine-tuned on proprietary data and exposed through a customer-facing API. If you're running a fine-tuned model or a proprietary agent behind an API endpoint, you need the equivalent controls in place now, not after an incident. Building on that regulatory thread, Ola also reported that the Commerce Department imposed, then reversed, an export control directive between June 12th and June 30th, an 18-day window, banning foreign national access to Anthropic's most capable model. That directive was triggered by an Amazon-reported jailbreak that enabled generation of cyber exploit code. The twist: Anthropic reportedly couldn't even comply with its own directive because it blocked the company's own foreign national employees. That's a concrete precedent for building vendor continuity fallback into your deployment pipeline, not just your procurement contract. Because regulatory whiplash is now a real operational risk, not a hypothetical one. Layer on to this Illinois Senate Bill 315, signed July 6th of last year, which is the first state law mandating independent third-party audits of frontier AI developers. Given a pending federal proposal, the so-called Great American AI Act is reportedly moving in a similar direction. The practical move is to start building your audit trail now. A lightweight provenance log, recording model vendor, commit hash, and timestamp on every deployment, costs almost nothing to implement, and gives you the artifact trail that audit requirements will likely demand within the next 12 to 18 months. So here's the risk-opportunity pairing to carry out of this briefing. The opportunity is real and immediate. Grok 4.5's pricing has cracked open a genuine cost arbitrage on inference, and because these APIs share compatible schemas, testing that arbitrage against your own traffic is cheap and fast. The risk sitting right next to it is just as real. Distillation attacks at the 25 to 28 million data point scale, regulatory directives that can flip in 18 days, and audit mandates that are only going to get stricter. The teams that win this cycle are the ones that pilot the cost savings aggressively while hardening their API surface and provenance logging in parallel. Treat this as a two-track project, not a sequential one. Stay strategic. I'll see you at the next briefing. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.